My brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel of this morning presents us very concretely with the reality in which we find ourselves in the world today. Wheat and weeds growing side by side. The weeds planted in the vineyard that is Holy Mother Church by the enemy himself, Satan. And God makes very clear that he still remains in charge. He remains aware of what it is that has transpired. And for us, this should be a source of great comfort, because as we look at the world in which we live, most especially the ongoing destruction of innocent and human life, and the legalization of these realities, and the silence of those who are in charge of our church, especially among our bishops, and their refusal to call out sin and evil when they clearly exist, one may wonder, where is God in the midst of all this? How do I understand God's design and providence when there seems to be so much evil in the world? And the answer in part is given to us in our gospel. God is still present, very much aware, still tending to his flock, still taking care of his vineyard. And while there are indeed weeds that have been sown among us by the enemy himself, it is the Lord who will gather up the weeds and have them burned, and gather up the wheat unto himself in his barn. Our task, then, is to make sure that we are not choked off in living out our life by the weeds that surround us, but instead remain that good fruit that indeed transforms the world. Yes, these things swirl around us. Yes, I preach about them often in order that we might be aware of what it is that we confront. But that awareness should never stifle us. It should never make us inert. It should never paralyze us to witness to the truth that God has called us to witness to. We must be aware that indeed the enemy does prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And it may seem as such that the enemy now has the upper hand. And even if indeed Satan would have the whole world, God is victorious. Not God was victorious, not God will be victorious. Those things are also true, but God is victorious at this precise moment. It doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter really what others around you do, as long as you remain steadfast and constant. It is always easier if we can do this together. This was, after all, God's intention. We are part of his body. We are one in him. He wants us to move together. But if we are not doing that, we still know and understand what it is that we ought to do and who we are called to be. We are here to receive grace upon grace, to go forth and live the life that God has called us to live. If it is more of a struggle for us now because of the age in which we live, we can also have confidence that there will be grace to help us in the midst of this struggle. There is never a reason to despair or to become hopeless or to become sour and sad and dour about the things in the world. We are joy-filled people, not because of what we have done, but because of what God in Christ has done. This is the reason why we are hope-filled. And so we can come to our gospel, and there may be a certain degree of trepidation as we hear that indeed the Lord is aware, asking, Lord, when are you going to separate? Lord, when are you going to come to us again and relieve us from this burden? But those really aren't the questions we should ask. The Lord will come at his own appointed time according to his providence. As we wait for him to come, he has revealed to us what it is we ought to be doing and who we are called to be. By an outpouring of grace, and especially as we prepare to receive the living God, let us pray for the strength and the courage that we need to remain steadfast and persevering with the Lord, to be that good fruit that bears 10, 50, and 100-fold in our lives and indeed in the life of the whole church and the life of the world. Let us always cling to the mystery of the Lord's cross, and in so doing, find there our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.